Hello, this is Scott. You're listening to The Joys of Teaching Literature. We're here talking about how to make life fun, easy, less stressful for all high school English teachers. This week, we're going to be talking about filmmaking and how it can be this easy thing. If you want to know more about me, you can go to my website. It's the www.theteachersworkshop.com. I offer online professional development for high school English teachers. In the course, I'm able to go into more depth about all the topics that I cover on the podcast, but specifically this topic. I have a lecture, and in the lectures, I go through different handouts and show you my rubrics, my checklists, activities from my class, student work, that sort of thing. And so I do have a section on filmmaking and what I call the video essay. It's basically just a written essay with a voiceover with images to go along with it. But I basically take you through some, various assignments that I give my students for the video essay, but also talk about filmmaking. And in the course, I talk about what I'm going to talk about right now. It's a little assignment that I give, but other assignments that I also give, I'll focus on Dubliners because that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm just going to sort of talk about the assignment that I gave and some of the work that came out of it. And it's interesting because I think I didn't give this assignment for a few years because of the pandemic. One, it was sort of tech-based, and it was a group work. It's a group sort of activity where the students work together to they have different characters, and they sort of act it all out. But I kind of forgot about it. And this is it's a unit that every teacher kind of throws out certain units, and then we don't do the same thing year after year. So I don't think I did the short story unit a couple of years. I sort of just let it go. So I kind of came back in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I used to do this before the pandemic because it's like this in-person thing and, it requires all this, collaboration from all the kids in the class. So I went back to it this year and I forgot about how fun it was. It reminded me, there's another activity that I used to do that was really fun. It was a satire unit, and, it was a sort of multimedia component to that too, or presentations, but with like a PowerPoint where there are sort of news reporters and websites, and there was a lot of sort of media components to that. And that's always, I'd say it's fun, but it's also funny because it's satire, so I was thinking about actually bringing that back into my curriculum this year too, just because it's light, it's easy. You can do little short pieces, little essay, fictional essays, that sort of thing, where there's a persona involved usually. But anyway, yeah, so that's why I kind of came back to this assignment, because I remember how good it sort of turned out. And I talk about it a lot because I teach filmmaking. So I teach this elective filmmaking, and it's funny because for a long time, I'm the advisor for this. Well, I used to be. This is another interesting thing that went away with the pandemic. I was the advisor of a something called Homeroom Broadcast, and I have to work with students to have a crew of people to be our anchors and sort of deliver the news to the entire school. And we had this, we had a sports person one year. We had a weatherman. So that, again, when we weren't in person, that kind of just went away. And so I think because I was involved in that group for so long, I was just sort of helping out to make life easier for people. And I thought it was a really fun thing to do. We did it during this sort of break period where everybody's off at the same time. So it was just, kind of a launch period where I'd go down there and help out. And they started sort of asking me if I wanted to take some filmmaking electives. There's all these different electives. I've taught creative writing, media studies. Right now I'm teaching racial literacy. It's a great course. I'm trying to think of the other courses. I think they're the only electives I've ever taught. Creative writing is a personal favorite of mine. But anyway, so they asked me if I wanted to teach filmmaking, and I was just like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know anything about it. It seems technical. Like, I don't want to teach something, I'm not sort of like creative writing. I'm very comfortable teaching that. Media studies, I was a little uncomfortable, but I knew that I could just sort of develop my own curriculum and sort of wing it and create, you know, fun group projects and talk about the news of the day and that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's the, how that class kind of works. I had, you know, 4 units where I just sort of go over the things that I knew, you know, about that particular unit. And then I would just let them sort of create presentations and different things like that. So you kind of just go with the flow for the most part. But filmmaking, I just thought, like, I don't know anything about the software, and I've never even been comfortable with iMovie before. So year after year, they kept asking me, and I sort of asked a younger teacher who, you know, is a little more tech savvy than me. I mean, it's not like I'm not able to make a movie, but I just thought it was a little more advanced for what I knew, and I didn't have that, you know, get any of that background in college or anything. I didn't want to bother anybody. I didn't feel like reading any new books. So sort of asked a younger teacher if they would take it. He said, yeah, but there's so many different sections. So I eventually, you know, they eventually kept asking me, like, you know, you sure you don't want to do filmmaking? You're really involved with video and you seem like you'd be a great fit. And so finally I decided to take it. So yeah, there was a lot of learning involved. Little different tricks and different things you have to sort of have the kids keep in mind. I mean, it's a high school filmmaking class, right? It's not, there's nothing sort of too advanced about it. And it's not, there's no prerequisites for it. So it's not like we have a video production class that used to be a prerequisite for filmmaking. So they had all those skills going into filmmaking, but now it's just open to everyone. So I kind of have to make it very accessible for freshmen and seniors. And but I learned a lot about it, and it made me sort of more comfortable. Oh, and I taught film appreciation. That's a great elective. I mean, right, film appreciation. So it's like sort of worked with another teacher to figure out where the best movies of all time. It's sort of a history course in a way, but the history of film and how it evolved and different things like that. But so I sort of learned a lot from teaching that course and reading about, you know, a couple different texts and DVDs. That's funny to say out loud. About how to create a film and the different shots and different sort of cinematic techniques and that sort of thing in order to analyze film. So that made me a little bit more comfortable, where I'm like, okay, so now I can sort of teach it because I've studied it so much. And then I felt a little bit more comfortable, like, okay, so I can teach filmmaking. And a lot of it is just, you know, giving students work to do and then working with them to problem solve different things that come up, right? So that's what I kind of discovered once I started teaching it. You know, that's, you know, of course, you sort of collaborate with different teachers who've taught it before. And so I sort of learned sort of vocabulary for like the hitting the basics of, like, okay, so here's what we're talking. We're not talking about making a script. We're not talking about, you know, a storyboard or anything complicated, because in your regular English class, you just don't have that time. It takes, just to throw it out there, it takes, in my filmmaking class, it takes about a month to put together a high quality, like, 5-minute film, right? Because there's just so much, you know, you have to shoot it, you have to write the script, so you have to plan it out first. That takes a couple days. You have to conference, you know, I conference with my students about their idea. Then you do all the planning involved, and there's a shot list, this thing called a shot list, right? So you're not in your regular English class, you're not going to do any of that stuff. So I basically discovered it was kind of easy, you know. So I don't want to go on and on. That's in the course, I kind of cover more specifics. So you can see the different sort of handouts that I give and PowerPoints and different things to sort of help teach filmmaking. But, you know, again, I try to keep it as simple as possible. Technology is so good now. You know, it's got regular phone. You know, most kids can do the job of creating a very short film. It used to be really difficult. I remember using a Wii Video, and that's still good. I'm really lucky too. I mean, our kids have, they not only have iMovie, but they also have Premiere Pro. If they want to just download Premiere Pro, it's incredible. You know, it's amazing software to help you edit videos. My classes, like, I do that with my filmmaking. I don't think many of my students are just going to do that. You know, this is, again, we're not getting fancy. We can just use iMovie and just drop stuff in, cut it and edit it a little bit. But it's amazing. Kids are pretty good at it. Like, I just assigned it to all of my students, and I didn't run into really any technical problems. It used to be this really long and difficult process, and I think that's why I gave up on it. It was a slow thing where I started, you know, I would sign different things here and there. I would try different things myself. Even PowerPoint's really easy to make into a movie now. That used to be really hard. You have to like set up the transitions and stuff like that. So I kind of gave up on it when I first sort of started thinking about using film in English language arts class, which is just completely appropriate. I mean, movies are very literary in a lot of different ways. And actually just the conversation about, it's one of the more fascinating sort of things as a English teacher and as a filmmaking teacher, I can kind of explore the both of those sort of the external world of the film and the internal world of literature, right? Literature is this sort of internal dialogue, it's internal monologue, you know, free and direct discourse, all these different sort of points of view that you're sort of playing around with, like whose story, whose eyes are you seeing this through? But you're always getting, you know, a lot of the internal thoughts of the character, whereas the movie, you're watching, you know, the outside of the body language and how they're moving around the room. Of course, there's different things, like the aside, you know, breaking the fourth wall. There's all kinds of different things that, you know, filmmakers do, like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. You actually are inside, right? Being John Malkovich, right? So you are inside of the character's mind to some extent. But so that's interesting to kind of talk about that. But, you know, movies, especially long series now, they really function like novels. So it's cool to sort of make that, to sort of make that sort of comparison. Like, what's the difference between a really good long novel and a series, for instance, or like what's the difference between a movie and a novel? So philosophically speaking, it's sort of fun to do that. But over time, I mean, now it's just really easy. I mean, phones come with a lot more storage. They're a lot faster. A lot of phones come with iMovie on it. I had a student make like a 7-minute movie. Because I never saw her on the, we used to have these bigger computers with the, you know, with the software editing stuff on there. And I never saw her on the computer. Like, are you ever going to put your, you know, your files on the computer and edit it or what? And she's like, oh, no, I'm just going to do it on my phone. Like, you can actually edit it on your phone. It was a couple of years ago. It was 5 or 6 years ago or something. I was like, all right. So I guess, like, you know, I didn't. Like, as long as I can watch it and it's going to be a good movie, you know, there's obviously not a lot you can do, you know, on your phone. But, yeah, that was pretty high. That's when I was like, okay, so this is going to be a lot easier than I thought, right? Now there's, when you think about technology too, as far as, okay, so we normally study poems and short stories and novels and essays, you know, little articles and things. But now, you know, and this is sort of running theme with my course and my all the blogs that I write, is that there's just so many different ways to express yourself now. You know, if you want to express an emotion or an idea or tell a story, there's so many different ways of doing that. Whether it be a podcast you're listening to one now, or a video of somebody telling a story, or maybe it's just a visual graphic of something. So technology has really opened up, you know, many, many possibilities to storytell and to express a feeling. We're sort of just limited to a novel before, you know, and then recorded sound came along and changed that. And, you know, of course, over time, we've sort of evolved where a movie is like, it's a lot of different, it's obviously great writing involved there and the plot structures and, you know, again, different playing around with point of view. And there's music and, right, the voiceover. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, different sort of literary elements, like epistolary, you know, when somebody writes a letter, you can have that, you know, somebody reading a letter as a voiceover in a movie. So there's a lot of different sort of links between movies and novels. So what I do anyway, to get to the assignment, what I do is I do assign a video essay, and that's a whole nother topic for another day. I think the really valuable thing to do in ELA class is to do an adaptation, right? So that's where you take an existing story and then you set it, you take it and set it in the modern day. Not all adaptations do that, but the basic idea is that you take the plot line and the characters, like, you know, Jane Austen wrote Emma, and then the movie Clueless was made, right? And that Clueless has loose sort of connection. He's argue very, very loose connection to the. But really, it's really remarkable that it does stay true to the original plot. You know, when you have a 400-page Jane Austen novel, obviously it's not going to be the same thing in a 2-hour movie set in Beverly Hills. But yeah, it's kind of like these stories. Think about when we ask students to analyze literature, what we're hoping they do unconsciously when they do that is to think about how the story could unfold in today's world. Like, the language is a little different. They're wearing different clothes than we do now. The, you know, family dynamics and power and wealth and status and race, right? All these different things that impact how a story unfolds. There's a narrative that exists in today's world that could be very similar to this world in 1814 England, right? Like, those storylines are still very much alive in the world that we live in. So instead of just hoping that they get there and think about or imagine those narratives in their own lives, really that's what we wanted them to do when they're interpreting literature. And of course, you're still going to interpret the literature. I'm going to talk about Dubliners in a second. But so when you're interpreting a short story or a novel, you know, that's, you're laying the foundation for a much more creative, much more meaningful project, which is an adaptation, right? You're not just stopping there and saying, tell me what you think of this book. You're saying, use it. Like, go out there, go outside my classroom and make a movie, right, where you basically take the basics of the plot. And the more they play with the plot, the better. It's like you really have to reimagine that plot line in, like, modern society, right? You have to invent the characters and a new storyline. You know, like, what would the characters and events in a novel look like if they took place in a high school today? How would the characters speak? You know, what would they wear? I'm just like, it's making me think of my students' work. You know, the one, I forget, it was Little Cloud. And I'll talk about the stories. But in Little Cloud, there's this, like, guy that's, he thinks he's really cool, you know. And that's how when they introduced the characters, they actually had this little montage at the beginning where they had, you know, just like a regular sitcom where you sort of get introduced to the characters and they appear before the screen. This one character had, like, sunglasses on. And think about that. That's a little thing. But in James Joyce's Dubliners, you know, the popped collar and the sunglasses, it's not necessarily, like, that doesn't mean that you're cool in Dublin at the turn of the century, right? But it makes perfect sense in the 21st century to have that character and to think about, okay, like, yeah, that this is a story that sounds a little distant as far as, like, you know, our own lives are concerned. But really it's not, you know, and once you see it, it really makes the story come alive because you realize that it's so connected that, again, that plot line, is still, those plot lines still exist. You know, sometimes the context of a story doesn't really, like, a historical context of a story doesn't really matter. And I think we have this tendency to be like, oh, we got to teach new contemporary stories. And that's true. And it's really important to teach contemporary literature and literature that's been written, you know, in the 21st century, you know, that talk about issues that are still relevant. But it's also really important to understand how this old literature is timeless and how Shakespeare's plot lines, you know, they're kind of wild, but, you know, they say a lot about how power still works today. My students are creating for a separate project. They're creating an adaptation of Hamlet. And of course, you know, Shakespeare, you know, people have made adaptations with Shakespeare's plays, you know, for a long time. So, yeah, so anyway, so that's one, Little Cloud. The four that I do, there's a lot of great stories in Dubliners. But the four that are really good for teenagers, the first one's An Encounter. And so this is, like, the really easy one to do and is always so funny. Because you basically have these kids, they're learning Roman history. The teacher's, you know, deep into this lecture and you're listening to this lecture. And he keeps yelling at kids for basically passing around a comic book. You know, it's like a Western, I think. And, you know, and the narrator gets really upset, and he actually says, "Oh, these have some real literary value." You know, I forget the line; they're literary in nature, something like that. So he kind of yells at them, and they're kind of like, "Oh, this jerk teacher," you know. And so they decide to cut this small group of boys decide to cut school the next day. So it's just so, it's so easy, you know, for teenagers to be like, okay, so like, what's the teacher like in this school? And you're in a school. So it's like really easy to film that scene, you know? Then there's Evelyn. That's a 19-year-old who has to sort of decide between traveling the world with a sailor, which is so cliche, or staying home to fulfill her deceased mother's promise to help her abusive father. I think he's also like an alcoholic. There's a lot of references to how much he drinks. And so she has to sort of, her inner conflict is like, do I stay home with my abusive dad, who's an alcoholic, and take care of my younger brothers like my mother wanted to? Or do I just travel around the world and this guy is saying he's going to marry her? It's kind of risky. So she's caught between these two things, these two decisions. And so that's easy. So they sort of like turn that into like somebody's at college or I want to go here, you know, but I want to go to this other school because it's closer. Or like, do I go to work because I need to like earn income for my family, whatever. So there's a lot of different sort of, you know, things that they can do with that. Araby, it's just, it's so good. It makes me laugh because it's so poetic and it's so intense, but it's like, I don't know how old the kid is. I think he's like 12 years old and he has his crush on this girl who literally is not, she's not the girl next door. She's the girl across the street. And it's like his older, what is it? His friend's older sister that he has a crush on. And so, so that's another one. It's just so easy. All right. So what's the crush, the high school crush, the high school relationship with this dynamic of the, you know, the friend's older sister, you know, that one, there is one that my students made this year. It was just so funny. He wants to buy her, in the story, he wants to go to the bazaar and buy her something. He said he's going to buy her something. So they turn that into like the vending machine. Like, oh, I see that you really like going to the vending machine. And do you want to meet me there? And I can buy you something. And you know, the characters are like super, super intense, crush, love, whatever. And so that was really, really funny scene. And then there's Little Cloud. And it's just classic because it's all dialogue. So it's kind of there for them. You know, there's a guy, he's a sort of two guys that went to school together. One's single. He's a journalist. He works for the London Times, I think it is. And I mentioned him already. He thinks he's so cool. There's Gallagher and little Chandler. And he just thinks he's so cool. And he's like bragging about all the women he sleeps with, and I've traveled to Paris, and all the women in Paris, you know, that sort of thing. He's that kind of guy. And the other guy's a father. He's a husband. He's got, I think, just one kid. And when he goes home, the child, it's an infant, and the infant starts crying. So he's like had a couple of drinks, and he's got this kid who's crying, and he's like, oh my God, I'm such a loser. You know, I should be like going on these adventures with, you know, like my friend. And he wants to be a poet secretly. There's a lot of cool passages about how he's got a poet's. He wanted to weigh his soul to see if it was a poet's soul, I think is the line. It's a great line. So that one's easy. I'm 1 year. It was so funny. The guy's like, check out my Instagram. And, you know, they like in the movie, they're showing the posts on Instagram that they like made up. And it's just, it's so funny. One year, I used to do skits with these two because movie making was so hard. I'm like, all right, just make a skit, you know. But those are hard because you have to like memorize lines and people have, you know, index cards with movies, they're such short clips, you know, short shots that you don't really have to memorize anything. What was it? A Mother, I think is the name of the story. And their version of it was that the mother came in like with a, like, what was it? That they wouldn't pay her daughter because she sang in this concert. So the mother was really upset and she tried to talk to these men. And there's one line that's like, you wouldn't talk to me like that if I was a man. She tries to get her husband in there. It was this whole thing. So their version of that, their adaptation was that she came in with the gun and was like, where's my money? You know, and I didn't know that's where they were going with it. And I don't think I have ever laughed that hard maybe in my whole life because it was just so funny. So it's like really easy to imagine these characters in the 21st century. And it's good just to have a funny assignment like that, right? Like, so much of what we do are these like really deep philosophical conversation about like why the world is the way it is and how disappointing it is and corrupt and, you know, there's, you know, genocides and racism and all this like really heavy stuff that we sometimes cover when we talk about novels. And it's just nice to have a break like this, right, where we get them into groups and they're wandering. In my case, they're just wandering around the school. It's like the one year the group, they literally cut school. Like, not in the, I work at a school where this is like okay, you know, there's like a downtown close by, and you know, I don't know if it's that, you know, with everything that's going on with school security, it's not what it used to be. But so this was, you know, a long time ago, and the students just like went down to this little downtown area close to my school, and they were getting burrito. Like in the story where they cut school, they went and they got burritos, and they played the whole scene out in this burrito place, and it was just funny. So they like think about it. They take these stories and they think about, okay, so there's social media, there's characters who text each other, right? That's not going to be in a James Joyce story. They're going to be talking about sports, you know, working a job, family, you know, popularity, peer pressure is kind of a part of Araby, and even Little Cloud. And then college too, right? So they work all these things that are relevant to their life. And even they could even go to the, you know, talk about new, like make allusions to news stories, different things like that, to sort of update the story in some ways. You know, they're often, what comes out of this is usually a satirical portrait of modern life and over the top depictions of teenage relationships, which is always just so fun. Yeah, I mean, when we ask students to analyze literature, we also want them to use their understanding of the story to enhance their understanding of their own life and society. What better way than to ask them to imitate the style of the greatest writers using technology? This fun group project introduces students to the many ways that they can tell a story. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoy listening, please leave me a review wherever you get your podcasts, so spread the word. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks.